I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ. Down there in Atlanta, Georgia, 680 The Fan, Atlanta Braves Radio Network reporter for years now. You were talking about on the show this week. I was listening to the Braves podcast. Why am I blanking on the name?
Well, we have like three different ones. So I forget which one I'm doing. So we got the Frozen Rope Report. We got Pregame Daily. We got, we got the Braves Clubhouse Report. We've got all of them, man. We got like six different things. It's hard to keep track of what show I'm doing most days.
You were walking through your time and the why am I blanking on that? This is the most
Atlanta Braves
way.
Today, the morning show?
Behind the Braves.
Behind
the Braves. Okay. It's one of those where I listen to it and I just know it has the Braves logo on it. Do you have like so many podcasts and I like listen to so many different things where I just see Braves and I just call that one the Braves podcast because I know the Locked On one. I can see that. I know the 680 ones. I can see them and I judge them based on the cover photo. And that one just has Braves, like the Braves logos. I'm just like, that's the Braves podcast that I listen to that Ben's on and you're on and stuff like that. But either way, it has been a while. You're nearing how many years now covering the Braves?
This is my 13th season already, which is funny. I did a call with one of our radio network affiliates earlier today, and they were like, how many years have you been there? I said, 13. He goes, wait a minute. Because the guy that I was on with, he used to have me on when I covered the Phillies back in 2010 and 11. He goes, I've been out of Nashville that long? I said, yeah, apparently. I said, we're all just 13 years older. So it's hard to believe, man. Time has just zipped on by. Fortunately for me, I've been around some really darn good teams over the years. So I haven't had to watch a whole lot of bad baseball. More times than not, I've been watching playoff teams, which has been fun.
Yeah, you're not allowed to move, Kevin. You have to cover the Braves, unfortunately, forever because we can't risk it. We're
okay with that. Yeah, we bought a house. We got a good school district. We're happy where we're at. So, you know, it's funny when we moved down here, we figured, 4 or 5 years, we'll go back north. And my wife's from New Jersey. I'm from outside of Philly. And I'm like, no desire to ever go back. So folks down here, they're stuck with us at least for a few more years, hopefully.
I love it. Well, we're going to talk some Braves here as opening day is a day away here, Kevin, which is good. Thursday's weird. I'm glad Thursday's not happening. I will say, I don't know if you what your perspective is on this, on the uniforms, but I'm loving not being able to read any names on the back when I'm scrolling through stuff or I'm like, I have no idea who that is. Like I'm squinting and I'm like, what are we doing? Like the Royals, shout out to them for jumping out ahead of this. Have you seen the Braves number or names yet on the jerseys?
No, I did not go down to spring training this year. There was a chance I was going to go in the middle at one point, but it just didn't work out with me getting the kid coverage that I needed. Yeah. So, no, I did not go down. I did not see it firsthand. Now, I did talk to a lot of folks who were down there, and I think it's going to be one of those situations where the first 3-4 weeks, it might look a little weird, and I'm sure at a certain point, it's just going to look normal again. So, no, I have not seen them yet, but I'm curious to see what it looks like tomorrow afternoon.
I'd rather them just get rid of the names. If you're going to have small print, then just get rid of the names because then it's like, all right, then I'm not looking for it. Like the Yankees, whatever, like who cares if you're going to make the numbers big. But like, if you're going to keep the names, what are we doing? Why are they not big? Why can I not? I need to be able to tell who's who, especially on different teams that I'm watching and keeping up with. I would rather not have to Google number that particular player's number. But for you, Kevin, the biggest unknown for the Braves right now heading into opening day for Kevin McAlpin right now is what?
Well, I would say it's not necessarily it's an unknown, but it's maybe something I'm keeping an eye on is the starting rotation. Look, you feel really good about Strider, Fried, Sale having a normal offseason, Charlie Morton. But the question I have is you've got, as Chipper told me yesterday, you've got a Charlie Morton who's a little long in the tooth now. He's 40 years old, which sucks because I'm going to be 42. Mm. And when I took this job, I was still younger than like 2/3 of the guys in the clubhouse. Now I'm older than all of them. I'm going, well, 40's not that. that old, you know. 40's not too bad, you know, now that I'm older than everybody in that room. But I would say the starting rotation, while on paper it looks really solid, and I do think Chris Sale's addition is going to help big time. You know, he's had injury issues in the last couple of years. You know, Charlie Morton missed the end of last season with injuries. So, you know, you've got a couple of guys that have had a lot of wear and tear on their bodies over the years. That being said, if they can stay healthy, if they can make their starts, I feel really good about this rotation. And I feel even better about the depth they have, knowing that I've got an all-star in Bryce Elder at AAA. I've got a Hurston Waldrop, who's my top prospect, waiting in the wings at AAA. I've got Winans and Vines, and I'm bringing back Waskari Noah, and Ian Anderson's healthy. The list goes on and on. Dylan Dodd. I mean, these guys, you've got major league experience that's only a phone call and a 45-minute drive north of here. So for me, you know, again, if those guys have to miss a start, or if the Braves want to push them back or skip a start from time to time, I'm okay with that. If they can make 27 to 30 starts, but have a little bit left in the tank for October, I'd be just fine with seeing some of those other guys I mentioned get some spot starts here and there. Ronaldo Lopez as well. You know, what can he do? You know, he can air it out at 100 coming out of the bullpen, but what's he going to look like? What'll he be able to do every fifth day? Again, I love the rotation. I think it's deeper than it's been in years past, but again, health is a big part of that. And you've got to just keep your fingers crossed these guys can all stay healthy for 162.
Do you think we see some of that, like, obviously with like the DMP rest across other major sports, do we get some DMP rest for Morton and Sale this year?
I think there's a chance, and I think I wouldn't limit it to those guys. I would say that there's a night where, you know, Austin Riley's not in the lineup. You know, Matt Olson. I know these guys want to go to the post every day, and I respect the hell out of that, because that's so rare to see. You know, think about the grind and the rigors of playing 162. It is really, really hard. And it's really hard to do that and stay consistent, you know, for a 6-month season. Hopefully it's a 7.5-month season this year. But I think, you know, I wonder, you know, again, do you want to win 100 games? Of course. Do you want to have the top spot? Sure. Do you want to put yourself in the best possible position? Absolutely. No manager is going to come out and say, well, we're okay with winning 90 to 92 games if it means we have, you know, a chance to not have that 5-day rest period in October. It's just something teams are going to have to figure out how to navigate. So yeah, number one goal is to win the division. But that's not the end goal anymore. We know that. It's to win a World Series with this core, with this group. And why shouldn't that be the ultimate goal? So I do wonder if there will be some nights. I'm not going to say it's load management like the NBA, but I wonder if there is some nights where, hey, you got a day off on Thursday. Guess what? Austin Riley, I'm giving you Wednesday off. It's giving you 48 hours off your feet. These guys, and think about too, last year, a lot of those guys went to the All-Star game. They did not have any time off. So again, I know they want to play every day. I respect that fact, but there's going to be some nights I think Snit's going to have that conversation with, look, you know what? Get off your legs for a night. We have a bigger goal in mind. It's not just winning a division. It's not just winning 100 games. It's winning a World Series. And that's been the mantra since day one of camp.
I love it. You mentioned Ronaldo Lopez, who's like maybe the big, he's probably still the biggest unknown. I think it may have surprised some people nationally that he ends up being that fifth starter. Like Bryce Elder was a all-star last year and he will not be in that rotation. You mentioned Ian Anderson, who we just forgot about. Like Ian Anderson was a guy and someone that you thought was going to be that third or fourth. I don't know who I would compare him to. Maybe like the Mike Minor from back in the day, where you're like, you're never going to see him as the ace, but you're like, oh, he'll be a part of the rotation as your third or fourth guy, and you feel okay there. And then it just, things happen quickly in professional sports, and it's like, okay, we really forgot with injuries and everything else. But they, like you put, they have options, and I just think because they have so many options, because injuries are part of this deal. I mean, do you see? Would you be surprised if Ronaldo Lopez is not a bullpen arm come playoff time, or just moved around throughout the year that, like, yeah, technically he's starting off as the one of those five starters, but I think the Braves are going to kind of, they want to see what they have in a lot of these arms and kind of bounce things around a little bit more than people might think.
Yeah. And I don't think you want to have him throw 150 innings this year either. Right. I mean, you don't want to kill the guy. You don't want to burn him out. Yeah, you know, I think that if this is a situation where he makes starts for, let's say, 2 months, and I'm just putting a round figure out there, let's say he's in your rotation for 2 months. Well, that's two extra months of seasoning for all those starters I mentioned for you earlier. And I think that, you know, then you can slot him back to the bullpen where he can, he can let it eat. He can air it out. He can throw 100 miles an hour. I don't think he's going to be touching triple digits, you know, knowing he's going to be starting every 5 days. And look, this bullpen is so good and it's so deep that, look, if these guys give you five good innings a night, you feel pretty good about the depth you have and the different directions you can go, righty, lefty, power arm, you know, guys that you have like five different options you can pitch in the ninth inning right now. Lopez could be one of those guys later on this season. So I just love the depth and the options they have there. And I do think, again, if it's 2 months and you slide him back to the pen and one of those other guys shows that they're ready, and you've got a number of guys to choose from, there'll be a healthy competition going on up the road in Gwinnett this summer.
If you were like forecasting of all the group there, like who would you love to see? Like who would be the best story for the Braves to crack that fifth spot? If it's not Reynaldo, like who would be like in, whether it's Anderson, whether it's Dye, whether it's Waldrip, whether it's AJ Smith, Schauber, who is the best case scenario there to kind of settle in for that spot?
Well, I look at two guys that have missed time in Waskar Rinoa, who the Braves are really excited about his track coming back, and Ian Anderson. I think those are two guys. Look, Anderson was so good. He did something that hasn't happened in like 125 years. I have to pull up the numbers. There was just a ridiculous playoff stat about what Ian Anderson did his first two Octobers in the playoffs. And so, you know, again, I think that he's a really intriguing guy. If he can get his stuff together, if he can get himself healthy, we know how good he can be in October, and that's when the pressure is the highest. You know, I don't see any reason why he couldn't come back and be as effective, as dominant as he was a couple of years back. But again, health is going to be a part of that. He's going to have to work his way back. It's a long road, and we know that. So, you know, again, I think those are two names that have proven themselves in the past, that have shown that they can be effective, and I look forward to seeing what they look like once they do get back and get healthy.
Yeah, and I also, for me, like I penciled just with the friends in the group chat of like, what's the bet for me? Like the bet, like everything's going right for the Braves. Like we're going to, like they're going to be right there for 100 wins and right there competing against the Dodgers. We know that. But I just feel like if AJ Smith Schauber takes one of these spots and he gets an opportunity to come up and he just really excels and he kind of moves into that Mike Foltynewicz role where you're just like, all right, you don't really like, it's just when it's on, it's scary good. Like his stuff is just really, really good. I think he's got the highest upside of anyone in at AAA. I don't know if you agree, but like I think AJ's ceiling is probably the highest of all the Braves options. And if he has like a Spencer Strider burst onto the seam, that's like the best case scenario to me for the Braves, where you're like, okay, we've got Strider locked in. But you also have unknowns going into next year because Max Fried, will see what happens if there is a way. But like it seems like reading the tea leaves, he's not back after this year. Morton might retire. Chris Sale, we'll see what the injury is like. I mean, he'll be a year older. Suddenly, we mentioned the depth this year. But I think when you look into 2025, I'm kind of like, I don't know. The Braves might have to have a very, very busy, expensive offseason in terms of the starting pitching department, depending on how things go with their young guys. But I think you kind of, if you're the Braves front office, you really want to see AJ take that step, because if he can solidify himself and show that he could be one of those long-term answers in the starter role, I think that's a really, really good spot for the Braves to be in. And you feel better if Fried does move on.
And he's like 20 years old. I mean, yeah. Good Lord. I mean, these guys are so young. By the way, I did have to look.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Get up, because I didn't want to leave your listeners dangling. This is from October 17th, 2021. Ian Anderson entered game two of the LCS. He was 3-0 with an 0.76 ERA in his first five career postseason starts. The only other pitcher in Major League Baseball history with 20 or more innings and two earned or fewer in five career postseason starts, Hall of Famer Christy Mathewson. So again, puts in perspective just how damn good that guy was a couple of years ago. And if they get anything close to that, you know, you'd be in good shape. Going back to AJ Smith Schauber, yeah, I love him. I love the fact that he got his feet wet. I like all these guys. When they get that opportunity, they fly on the charter. They stay in the Ritz-Carltons, right? Mm-hmm. They're not taking the 12-hour bus rides anymore. You've gotten here. Now you know how tough it is to stay here. Go earn a spot and don't let them take it away from you. So I do think that, again, they'll be, those guys are all, they're all friends with each other. They all like each other. But there's also a really healthy competition, much like they have in spring training. I think you're going to see a lot of that if you follow the Gwinnett Stripers this year.
Oh, the Stripers are sneaky loaded. I mean, it's a hot ticket. Like, there's going to be a lot of talent right away in Gwinnett. Do the Braves adjust quickly, in your estimation, if Jared Kelnick struggles early on? Do you think they give him, just because there is enough firepower, where they're like, we'll live with the spring training struggles if it moves into the regular season? Or do you think, hey, it's one thing to struggle like this in spring training, but like, we're trying to win a championship, we have to kind of move on? Like, you bring in Adam Duvall back, you have options. We'll see what happens with AAA and some of the guys they have back there. But like, do you think there is patience with Kelnick if he's struggling at the plate as much as he has this spring?
100%. I don't think they're in any rush. And look, he's going to bat ninth for you, so he's going to have Ronald Acuna hitting behind him. You've heard Michael Harris talk about how beneficial that was for him in his career to have that kind of protection. I think that when you look at the numbers from Kelnick on the surface, obviously they're not great, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're nowhere close to what he wanted to do, but they're working some adjustments. They're working on where his hands are positioned. That's what spring training's for, to make those kind of adjustments down there, because your numbers are all 0-0 across the board when you start on opening day. He's got a great hitting coach. Kevin Seitzer has a great track record of turning Ronald Acuna around and lowering his hands. Look at what he's done with Austin Riley. He's got Chipper Jones to work with for home games. They've got a great video department. Those guys do a great, great job on providing those guys all the information they need. So look, they're not going to tell him. If anything, I think the conversation this spring is just go be you. Go play solid left field. Look at this lineup. Those guys will do the heavy lifting. We're not looking for you to hit 30 bombs and drive in 100 runs. We're looking for you to get on base ahead of Ronald. Let him chase you home. Let the big bats in this lineup do what they did last year. 15 home runs. You do that for us and we're going to be just fine. There's a lot of managers that would love 15 homers out of the ninth spot in their lineup. And I do think that if things go well and he adjusts accordingly to the new hand positioning, this could be really beneficial. He hit the ball hard in spring training. I talked to Ben Ingram about it. He said, look, he's been hitting it hard. He has nothing to show for it. But again, that's what happens in spring training. So remember, a lot of folks wanted to run Marcelo Ozuna out of town May the 1st last year, and he ends up hitting 40. So, I think patience is something that's really important, especially with a guy who's just 24 years old.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Do you expect a stardom leap from Michael Harris II this year?
I do. I would say the same about Austin Riley as well. I think people are going to realize how talented he is. And I've said this on a couple other interviews, how talented he is on both sides of the ball. I mean, he is obviously looked at when he came up as a power hitter. I don't think anybody really respected how awesome he was as a defender. And I think you've seen that him get better and better. And he's worked his tail off. I've known Austin since his first spring training, his first big league camp, and to see where he was there to where he is now. And I'd say the same about Michael Harris. I mean, look, again, a guy who he's already got a rookie of the year in his back pocket. And I do think moving up in the order and being a guy that can really be one of, look, I think you could say that either Riley or Harris could be right there in the conversation for an MVP this year. I wouldn't put it past either of them to take those next strides forward. And again, they're still so young age-wise, but the experience they've gotten over the years has been so beneficial for them. So yes, I think this is the year both Harris and Riley, and again, people know how good Riley is, but I think they start appreciating his defense a little bit more here in 2024.
What do you think is the right, like, if you had to be clairvoyant, Kevin, here, like, what do you think will be the right order in the lineup for Harris, Riley, Acuna, and company to maximize this group? What do you think will end up being the case this year?
Well, my partner Chris Domino has finally come around on the fact that Ronald should not be hitting leadoff. You know, for the longest time, he was banging the drum. He should be hitting three or four, but now when you look at what he's done and the ability to steal bags and force the issue in the first inning, what he did last year was, I mean, it was just incredible to watch. I'm leaving Ronald right where he is. I like Ozzy hitting two. I love a switch hitter batting second in my lineup. And I think that Austin Riley really flourished, and Matt Olson dropping him from two to four. That lineup combination worked so well. The catcher spot, we saw a lot of times they were hitting Murph Darnot seventh. I could see them hitting fifth and having Marcel hit seventh or flip-flopping them. But it does sound like they've really kind of, liked Marcel in the fifth spot with Harris sixth. And again, Michael's going to have to get over the, you know, he loved that ninth spot in the order. He loved the bottom of the lineup because he knew who was hitting behind him. But I do think Harris hit six. Probably the catchers are seventh with Arcia eight and then Kelnick ninth. Again, I think that you're not putting a lot of pressure on Kelnick. You're just saying, look, you go down and do you. I think what we saw the last few games of spring training, as far as their order is concerned, I'm not going to say that's what they're going to live and die with every night. And that may fluctuate a little bit when Adam Duvall's in there. He might be a, you know, a six or a seven and slot everybody down a little bit further. So the good news is that they're everyday guys, love to play every day. You don't really utilize your bench a whole lot, you know, here with this, the way this team's constructed. So I do think that what you saw the last maybe week or so of spring training when the regulars were in there is probably what you see at least early on. I don't expect a whole lot of mixing and matching to start the season.
Who is your bullpen name to watch early for Atlanta?
You know, I'm looking at Pierce Johnson. His numbers were so good coming over last year, right? You get a pitcher out of Coors Field, and I talked to him about this at Braves Fest. I said, you get out of Coors Field, and you go from a last place team to the best team in baseball. That's got to give you a little extra pep in your step. He goes, oh, no doubt. I'm getting to the ballpark 10 minutes earlier. Hell yeah, I want to get a little extra work in. Sure, I'll watch a little extra film. I said, not like you're just going through the motions in Colorado, but I think that he really benefited from a change of scenery and being on a team, again, where, you know, he can be used as a high leverage guy. He can be used as a sixth inning guy. You can really, he's very versatile. So I like Pierce Johnson. It's easy to say Iglesias or Minter, Matzik. Having a healthy Matzik is huge as well. And I think he brings, I don't want to curse on your show, but can I say red ass? Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
He brings a little red ass to the bullpen, which I think was missing last year, right? We're a little bit of, hey, you know, we are better than you. We're going to come out here and punch you in the mouth. He did in the World Series or in the LCS a couple of years ago against the Dodgers was one of the most amazing things we've seen. But I like, you know, there's a lot of guys I like in this pen, but I like Pierce Johnson. He's a righty that he's really tough against left-handed hitters. So I like a guy like that. Who's Mr. Versatile, right? He can pitch the sixth, seventh. He can pitch the ninth for you if you really needed to. And I think there could be four or five guys you could throw in that ninth inning if the situation arose.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I mean, obviously, Jesse Chavez doing his yearly return to Atlanta. I don't know why anybody else signs Jesse Chavez at this point. Like, you know how this is ending. He's going to be back in Atlanta. And I think they have options. I'm very curious how it all unfolds, but I love the Pierce Johnson one and if it carries over because you just never know. It's a year-by-year basis with all these bullpen guys outside of maybe Iglesias. I feel pretty good year-to-year for right now that he's going to be rock solid in that role. Final thing here, Kevin. The biggest difference you think from this year's team and last year's team will ultimately be what in 2024?
Starting pitching. And again, if they stay healthy, that's the biggest thing for me. Look, I was doing post-game shows during the 2021 run. And even 2022 and 23, where, you know, we didn't even know who in the world was going to start the next day's game. Yeah. And Ben Ingram would joke in about the ninth inning, hey, you know, we're still to be determined tomorrow. You better stick around and listen to Kevin postgame to find out who's going to go. And we would have to wait for Snit to announce it. And think about how much farther you've come. And again, you won a World Series with Tucker Davidson and Dylan Lee starting two of your six games. Not a knock on either of those young men because, again, they had contributions throughout the year, and you don't win a World Series without anybody on your, you know, everybody on your roster. They did something to help you get to that point. So I do think starting pitching wise, you go into a series, I don't care who it's against, with Strider, Freed, Sale, 1-2-3. In a five-game series, I don't want to face that 1-2-3 combination. And even if I'm down 2-1, I feel really good about knowing what I can bring back on the other side. So, you know, again, it's not a knock on Bryce Elder. It's not a knock on any of those younger guys. But I do think that playoff experience, that World Series experience, is really beneficial for a number of those guys. So I feel so much better about the position the starting rotation's in now compared to where it was the last two, three offseason, or, you know, last two, three postseasons. Again, health is a part of that, but if they can get to the finish line and you know, line things up the way they want, think about the lefty bats, Schwarber, Harper, Stott, Freeman, Otani in the National League. There's a big reason why you wanted to get another lefty with swing and miss from the left side. And that's exactly what I think you have in a bang, bang punch with Strider, Freed, and Sale. And I'm really excited about what they could potentially do for this team, hopefully deep through October. And I haven't seen the dates, but maybe into early November. Again, we'll see how late this thing could go.
I love it. Kevin, what can the good folks check out from you and the team over at 680 The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network this week?
Well, we've got like 17 different podcasts that Domino and I are doing. So we've got my own. Let's plug that one first because I'm a selfish guy. Frozen Rope Report. We put that out a couple of times a week. You can hear that on the Braves Radio Network, on the Podcast Park, on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Domino and I are also bringing back Pregame Daily. So every morning we'll get together. We'll talk about what happened the night before. We'll preview the pitching matchups. We call it the earliest pregame show in the world because we have that thing posted by about 8:30 in the morning before I even drop my daughter off at preschool. We also have Cheers to Baseball. Domino and I do a little look back at memorable moments, and we drink bourbon while we do it. That's not the worst thing in the world, right? Yeah, so that's not so bad.
No cereal, though. He's not doing the cereal during it. No cereal for Domino. Okay.
No. We're on to brown liquor now. We're graduating him a little bit. And then, of course, we have Atlanta Braves today every weekday morning. I'm on there 7:45 with the locker room. And then coming up Friday, every day, we'll be on 75 minutes pregame with the Ford leadoff show, Domino and I. And then we'll have the Hyundai postgame show and, of course, Braves wrap up. And fingers crossed, and I hope I'm not messing with the baseball gods, but hopefully not a whole lot of rain delay shows this summer. Hopefully we get these things in on time and don't have to mess around with too many of those rain delay shows. But it'll be a fun summer.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I think Brave fans should be geared up for what should be another exciting six and hopefully seven plus months. I know my son Max, who just snuck in the room, he's right here. Max is fired up. He's ready for Braves baseball. So we're all excited and looking forward to bringing it to the fans here all summer long.
I love it. Well, good luck on another season here. Is this year 14 or are you starting year 13 here?
Year 13. Yeah, 13.
Year 13. Okay. Year 13. Well, I'm excited. I think it's going to be another fun year in Braves country. And good luck to you, sir. Enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. And hopefully we'll have another championship to talk about and report on this year.
I'm not sure if Max is more excited about baseball season or the upcoming dinner I'm about to cook for him. But we're excited for both. But yeah, it'll be fun. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kevin.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.